Hi, my name's Steve, and for the past 19 years, I've been part of one of the best communities on the planet, the military community. I served 4 years as a soldier when my wife Heather and I joined the Army to pay off some student loans, and when I got out, I became a full-time military spouse. I transformed into Mr. Army Wife. Through all of the moves, deployments, and different opportunities and struggles I've experienced, the one thing I'll never forget are the other military spouses I've had the pleasure of meeting. They're amazing, and I want you to meet them too. On today's episode, I'll introduce you to Kim, Hillary, and Jan, three military spouses I get to call my friends. It's the Mr. Army Wife and Friends podcast, and it all starts right now. Good afternoon, good evening, or good morning. It depends on when you're listening. This is Mr. Army Wife and Friends. My name is Steve, and I am Mr. Army Wife. Today on the episode, it's episode 22, and we have some great spouses joining us today. I'm going to introduce them to you in the order in which I met them. And first up is Hillary. I met Hillary at Fort Riley way back in like 2010. We have a decade-long friendship now, Hillary. The one thing I remember about our friendship is that we did Christmas with you guys at your house, and you made a standing rib roast that was amazing. So thank you for that, and thank you for being on the podcast. Tell everybody a little bit about yourself.
Well, my name is Hillary Breedlove. My husband and I have been together for 23 years. We've been married for 17 and a half, and we've been in the Army just as long. So it's basically our whole adult life. We've been in the military, which so far we've enjoyed it. We're a good team. We take everything in stride. We don't obsess about the bad stuff. I think the biggest thing that the Army has taught us is expect the worst, but hope for the best. We have two girls, Maddie, who's 12, Lydia, who is 8. And we recently PCS'd out here to Norfolk area from a 3 years overseas tour in Stuttgart, Germany, which we absolutely loved. Like, we didn't want to leave, but we knew our time was up and everything. And so we just moved here in August. It's been quite the adjustment of all the years that we've been in the Army and our PCSs and deployments and everything else. This one has been really tough. And I think a lot of it is just, you know, coming from OCONUS tour back to CONUS. And the pandemic, you know, I mean, that's just, that's really been like the hardest obstacle this whole time. And, you know, when we would usually be able to acclimate really quickly and meet a lot of people and find our tribe, we haven't been able to do that out here just because, you know, the virtual learning and everything. And we're pretty much like kind of a little bit more isolated. So the adjustment has been a lot harder this time. Yeah.
And we're going to get into a little bit of that later on with our article. So I can't wait to hear what you are doing and what you have going on with that. Up next is Kim. Kim and I have met each other at Fort Stewart, even though our spouses worked together at Fort Riley, but we didn't meet until Fort Stewart, probably around 2016. So Kim, thank you for being on the podcast. Tell everybody a little bit about yourself.
Well, thanks for having me, Steve. And Hillary, I'm sorry we didn't meet back at Fort Riley in the day, but it's good to meet you now. I am... Like you said, my name's Kim. I married my husband in 1999, back when he was a gold bar recruiter at North Dakota State University, somewhere where Army never takes you. Since then, we have been all over the United States. We've never been overseas. We've had 4 kids in that time. And so one of them is already off in college and getting ready to join the Army himself. And I have another child that I've picked up that is not mine, but we treat him like ours. It belongs to another military family who made a move that wasn't working for him. And so he's with us now. And we're getting ready to retire next year.
I'm sure we'll talk a little bit about that as we go along tonight. And last but not least, it is Jan. Jan and I met right here at Fort Knox last year when she became part of the Spouses Club, and then, more importantly, became a part of the Bourbon Sub Club that goes along with the Spouses Club. We did a lot of bourbon tours together. Jan, it's great to see you again. I know you're not at Fort Knox anymore, and I'm really sad about that. But tell everybody a little bit about yourself. Thanks for being on the podcast.
Oh, thanks for having me. We miss Fort Knox a lot. It was just a special place. So anyway, we are at Fort Eustis, Virginia, and we're living off coast. So it's a little bit different because we had a very close-knit community at Fort Knox. We could walk to school, my husband could walk to work, and most importantly, you know, if you had bourbon, you could walk to your friend's house or anything like that.
That is a very important point.
So anyway, we I think he's coming up on 18 years. This, hopefully, fingers crossed, is our last stop on the Army train. We have all of our family on the East Coast, so we're hoping to just finish it out here and stay. We have a 10-year-old boy, and then I have twin boys that are 8. So they actually all were born in this area. They don't really remember it, but kind of like coming home for my husband. He graduated from high school here and went to Virginia Tech. So we know the area. And Hillary, reach out if you need anything. He also went to Old Dominion. So we know some of the Norfolk area too.
Let's be friends.
Yay. We don't know anyone either yet because, you know, he does go to work, but you know, Army life is just different right now. We don't have any friends yet either. So, you know, I think that's it. I don't know.
Now let's get started with our conversation. Kim, I'm going to start with you. Are you where you thought you would be in life? Did you think you would be someone who traveled around the United States as a military spouse?
That's a hilarious question because not even close. I had 3 rules about life, and one of them was to not marry a military man. And here I am. So I didn't think for a second that would happen. Both of our families still live in the same place that they did, you know, back when I was a kid. So people from our families just don't do this. And so it's been really different. I had no idea what to expect stepping into this. I knew nothing about the military, and I grew up in a place where people didn't always have nice things to say about people in the military. So yeah, it was a nice surprise. I will say it's been very good.
What is one of the things that has surprised you the most?
I think I had a very narrow view of certain areas of the country based on what people from where I am from would say. Things like, I don't want to say what they said because it's just not nice. But I will just say, having moved around a lot of different areas, I have really grown to love all the different cultural things across the country. Having neighbors next door with various accents or who can cook different kinds of food that I'd never even heard of in my life. And people are nice everywhere you go. And I've really learned that when you look on the news or the TV and you see a lot of things that aren't very kind going on, I just have to look at the immediate people around me and realize that's not reality everywhere you go. There's a lot of really great people out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hillary, how about you? Where are you where you expected to be in your life? Was this something that you and Joe kind of talked about before you became adults, or how did that come about?
Oh, I don't even know what I'm doing tomorrow. I mean, that's the type of planner I am.
Girl after my own heart. I mean, everybody that comes on the podcast is a planner. So it's about time that somebody is not a planner.
No, I am the, like, I've just learned, like, go with the flow. I'm flexible. Joe and I complement each other very well. He is the, well, where do you see us in 5 years? Where do you see us in 10 years? And I'm like, I don't even know what we're having for dinner yet. Like, come on, let's focus on what is right now. My expression lately is one calamity at a time. But overall, you know, I look back on our experiences and everything, and, you know, of course I wouldn't change it, you know, for the world. You know, it is what it is. All of the tough times and then a lot of really great, amazing times too with it, you know, it just kind of balances out.
Yeah. How has military life affected you or impacted you?
Well, as a military spouse, and when you first graduate college and you get married and then you move off like somewhere far away from your family and stuff, and then next thing you know, your husband is like deploying for who knows how long and stuff. So it's kind of like, oh, well, I guess it's time to really grow up. And I mean, even though you're not alone, it was definitely like, okay, like, you got to handle this stuff by yourself. Like, this is how it is, you know, and you got to be able to be flexible, acclimate. So definitely has made an impact for sure. Like I said, like, my whole adult life has been involved with the Army, but I also don't like let it define me. It's not like, oh, I'm an Army spouse and this is who I am first. No, I'm Hillary first. I'm the proud wife and mom of our family proud supporter, and my husband is a service member. And, yeah. You know, we do wear that badge with pride, of course, but we don't let it, like, define us, and we don't let whatever the Army says dictate who we are, I guess.
Yeah. Jan, how did you get into this life? Is this kind of something that you guys expected when you were together?
No. I grew up in Delaware, and I lived there for 18 years until I went to college. So I kind of, like Kimberly, didn't expect it at all. We didn't live in a military town, and I met him when he was a butter bar, and off we went into a deployment. But, you know, there were times when he came home after the first deployment and said, I'm getting out, and, you know, the Army said, hey, here's a bonus, or, you know, just things happen. And he is an Army brat, so he is used to this life. And I think that was good for me, because there's just times where it's a little too much, but he's kind of there. Okay, this is okay. We'll do this. We'll handle this. And for me, it's just like looking at my kids, it's made us so close. Like when people say, oh, this pandemic is crazy, I'm around my kids all the time. For me, just having my husband home working, and just that we could be together, like that's something I wouldn't change. Because I just think back on the times that we weren't together. You know how much it sucks when they're gone. So I don't know.
This question is kind of for all three of you, and I'd like you to, you can kind of have a conversation about it. How independent has being a military spouse made you? And was that kind of part of your life before you met your husband or before you got married? Were you independent people beforehand?
I was independent before. I actually had a job in Savannah, Georgia. That's where I met him. So I was out on my own, not too far out of college, but a couple years out of college. And I've just kind of always been sort of independent, I guess.
Yeah, I think I was always independent, but I think I've had to stretch farther than I ever would have had we not lived this life. Just not having any family around ever to help with anything. You know, YouTube's been great for how to fix cars or whatever. But yeah, I think I have had to stretch and do things that I may have never tried to do before.
I always say, add that to my resume. Add that to my resume. Plumber, add it to the resume. Yeah. Orthodontist, add it to the resume. Like all these things that like you pick up along the way, you know, because you have to learn to just like take it over. And it's so funny because the pandemic and everything, my husband has been around a lot more, of course, which is, it's kind of good. I'm not complaining about it, you know, considering all the time that we've spent apart and stuff, you know.
Kind of all right.
But it's also like, I just manage everything. And then one time, you know, since the pandemic, he's home and he's like, well, I could do that. I'm like, oh, you're here. Oh, well, okay, you know, well, how about it, you know? It was kind of a surprise because I don't always, I mean, not to say that I didn't ever include him in the equation, but it's always just like, well, yeah, such and such is happening at this time. He probably won't be able to make it because he'll be on TDY or, you know, off doing whatever or late meeting or this and that. Like, you know, you just always, that's how it is. And then when they're around, you're like, oh, well, okay. He's like, I could cook dinner. Okay, sure. So it is kind of weird, like, you know, how we always just like, well, here we go. Let's do it. And then it's like, I can help. I'm here. I can do it too. It's like, oh, sure.
It's good when they want to help. That's nice.
Yeah, and then I criticize him when he's cooking. I'm like, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, I do the same thing. Heather doesn't know how to vacuum correctly anymore. I don't know what happened, but she doesn't know how to do it anymore. Jan, what is one of your favorite things about military life?
Oh, goodness. I think just getting to see different places that I never thought I'd see. Like, I cringed when they said we were going to Fort Knox, but I absolutely loved it there. Just getting to travel around, since I did live in the same place growing up. My parents still live in that house. Just getting to see different places, I think. And the friends I have met along the way, just people you never would have encountered had it not been for this life. So it's been pretty cool.
Kim, what about you? What are your favorite, what's one of your favorite things about military life?
I would definitely agree with Jan on the places you get to go. And then, you know, I said already, the people. I just never knew there were so many strong and amazing people that you could all fit into one room together from all over the country or the world. And everyone gets along because we're all military spouses or military personnel themselves are there. And it's just been a really cool experience in that way.
Yeah, I remember your farewell. We just had like this plethora of people that were around, and some of them we knew really well and some of them we didn't, but everybody was just like amazing. And that's the coolest thing, you're right, about just getting people in a room.
And it's never dull.
Never dull. Hillary, what's your favorite thing about military life?
You know, I think I'll say my favorite thing about it is the can-do energy and the sense of community, of course, and especially like our most recent assignment overseas when we were in Germany. You know, we lived on base, and it's the first time that we ever lived on base and stuff. And so it's stairwell apartment living. So you have six families living in a stairwell, and you're just on top of each other and stuff. I called it like a little Mayberry. And there was a commissary there, and there was the furniture store, and there was a school and all this stuff. And it used to be like the biggest base in Stuttgart at one time. Well, then downsizing and stuff. So anyways, they got rid of a lot of the community facilities there on that post. And there was still a huge part of families there. So you have all these new families moving there, don't know anybody in this foreign country, and they closed down. There was a building that was, it was a restaurant and a coffee shop, and they had just closed it down. And so a group of women decided, hey, what if there was something for all of us new people here that don't know a soul could go and meet up? And we could just meet up. We can have potlucks, you know, coffee, you know, whatever. Like, hey, welcome to Germany. This is fabulous here. And so basically a group of amazing women formed this nonprofit organization there for that community where we did events and we put on like Easter egg hunts. We did a Memorial Day run. We did all these events. Like, it wasn't sponsored by MWR or ACS or anything. It was all just the people that lived there that cared about the community, welcoming the new families into the area and stuff. And I was very happy to be a part of it. I helped. I taught art classes to the kids there. It was all volunteer run. And it was just like, wow, that's amazing. Of these people, they don't get paid to do it. And they worked their butts off. You know, if you do anything on post, you have to have permission for fundraising and stuff like that. So they were able to apply for grants with the Spouses Club and get some funds in. But it was all volunteer. And it was amazing. And I was so thrilled to be a part of it. It was like, wait a minute, this is important and we're going to do it. We're going to make it happen. And we did. I think that's a great thing. And that's what I think like separates the military community from a lot of other communities is that can-do attitude. We take care of each other.
I mean, you see that a lot of places, just the can-do. I mean, there's nothing that's impossible when you get a bunch of Army spouses together.
That's right.
I agree.
Yeah, I think that the diversity among military spouses is amazing because it kind of allows us to do everything that needs to be done. Like Hillary can teach art classes. Well, I certainly cannot teach art classes. That would not be at all good. But Hillary can do that. And then, you know, we all have these different talent levels that allow us to kind of incorporate everything into our lives that we need to incorporate.
Steve, if I remember correctly, I think you actually taught an art class at my house.
I taught a stenciling class at your house. That was not an art class. That was more of a paint by number class than anything else.
Hey, that counts. For some people, that's the most art they'll ever do.
That is the most art I'm ever going to do. Hillary is amazing as far as art goes. So that was just, put this on top of this and you'll be done. That was the extent of my art, but
You didn't teach a cooking class?
I've done that some places. Like I did Pampered Chef for a while and stuff. So I have done some cooking stuff. Hillary, what do you struggle with in military life?
Well, you know, I'm not really one to like dwell on, you know, negative part and stuff. You know, I think like we all, especially right now, are struggling with this pandemic. I just keep thinking like, you know, it's not just me. Like we're all on this same flaming ship of turds that's sinking at the same time right now, you know? It's all over. I don't think it's just us military spouses. And I think if anything, like us military spouses right now in the pandemic, like we're all kind of like relishing in the fact that, hey, wait a minute, a lot of our husbands are home. Like that's kind of cooler, you know?
I've seen more of my wife than I've seen her in 20 years.
I know, right? I kind of like my husband, you know?
Yeah, there you go. Reaffirming marriages, one pandemic at a time. That's what we're doing. All right. Well, I get it. Not relishing on the negative. That's good. I mean, we all have struggles, though. Jan, what about you? Do you have a struggle that comes to mind?
I do. I stopped working when my oldest was born and haven't gotten back to it. And I think I originally came with this PCS thinking, you know, the kids will be in school. They're at a good age. I can get them on the bus and go to work. Yeah, no, nature or whatever created this had a different plan. So I do struggle with that. I would like to do some form of my college degree, you know, at some point. So I've enjoyed volunteering, and I do like, I have to be honest, I kind of want my cake and eat it too. I want time to do the things I like to do, but then I also want to work some. So I miss that.
What was your degree in?
Accounting. So it's definitely something I could do even from home. But right now with the kids at home, I can't do anything at home. So it's definitely something if I put my effort into it, I think I could get something part-time.
Eventually, you'll be back to it.
Yeah, eventually. There you go. Stay tuned.
Kim, how about you? What do you struggle with?
Like Jan, I pretty much sacrificed the ability to have a career early on. My degree was in exercise science, and so personal training was my job before we started moving around. And at the time, there wasn't all this internet stuff. I mean, literally still VHS tapes you stuck in your VCR. That was like the extent of like—
Denise Austin, was that who you—
Pretty much, yeah, Kathy Smith or whatever. I don't even know anymore. But that was, you know, the internet was just coming around and none of that was even out there. So I never did that. Just random jobs along the years, which is fine. I was where I needed to be for my kids and my husband. But I think personally, the hardest thing for me has been just when you have to transition I would say for us, it's been about every 3 years, and you give up all these people you've had connections with, and now you're having to meet new people, which is great because you don't get to meet the new people if you don't leave the other people. But I always end up kind of with a sense of abandonment, even though it's part of the job and it's not like anyone's leaving me on purpose. But like, I feel like personally inside, I just always feel like I'm abandoned because it's really hard to keep in touch with people, and you can do it for a while, but eventually most people will fall away. And so after having done that for about 21 years now, it starts to build up. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I feel like even though we are in the advent, or like we're in this Facebook period where it's so easy to connect with people and to stay connected, like we stay connected for like 6 months or something, and then all of a sudden the contacting people every day turns into every 2 or 3 days, and that turns into once or twice a week, and then it turns into, oh my gosh, I haven't talked to them in a month and a half or whatever it is. And you're like, and then a year later, you're like, hey, just checking on you. How are you doing?
I kind of think though that it's a mutual understanding though. And it seems like everywhere we go, we end up through Facebook or whatever. Like when we were overseas, for example, there were two families that we hadn't seen in years, like years. And it's like, hey, we're moving out to Europe too. Okay. Oh, well, let's have Thanksgiving together, you know? And it's just kind of like you pick up where you left off, because there is that mutual understanding of, yeah, even though we don't talk to each other every day and stuff, but, you know, we still have, you know, our friendship and everything, and be able to connect and stuff. And yeah, we've been fortunate to, you know, have friendships like that to go out. And I tell you what, I plan on going out to Hawaii to see Simon and Ashley.
There you go. Yeah, for sure. Some mutual friends that we have out there. And I feel like, like even like if we ever got stationed in Virginia again, like it would be easy to go see Jan, or it would be easy to go see Hillary and just have Thanksgiving or Christmas. And it wouldn't, like, it would be just like we just picked up where we left off. But at the same time, it's like that.
Man, when there's not a pandemic anyway, right?
That's when there's not a pandemic, stinking pandemics, I tell you. All right. Yeah, no, you guys are right. So I have a brand new question for you guys, because we all have a lot of experience in the military. We've all been around for 15 plus years. So this is the question. Kim, being that your husband is getting ready to retire, you are at your final duty station right now. Where is somewhere you wish you could have gone, or what is something that you wish you could have done that you haven't gotten to do?
So many things, Steve. We have tried to take advantage of every place that we have been assigned, but we have never gotten any overseas assignments. I cannot tell you how many times people talk about their awesome Germany or Japan or Switzerland or Australia or Hawaii even. Like, the stories I get to hear and not experience.
Yep, we have never been overseas either. So we actually were supposed to go to Korea instead of Fort Knox, and he was coming off an Afghanistan tour, so we kind of said, eh, we'd rather be stateside. Yes, exactly. I never would have met Steve. But yeah, we, like I said, he was a military brat, so he lived in Belgium as a kid, and just his stories of getting to travel around, and I've been able to visit Europe, but we've never been stationed there, so. I hear you, and I feel you.
So that's yours too, not being able to get stationed overseas?
I think. I'm kind of like Hillary, like, it is what it is, you know, you just kind of take the waves as they come, and, you know, I don't have very many bad things to say about the past 18 years, I guess.
That's great. Hillary, what about you? Do you have something you want to do that you haven't gotten to do yet?
I don't know.
You're not a planner, so you probably are like, I know, yeah, whatever happens, happens.
Well, you know, go back to what you said, Jan, about making the best of where you are. I mean, we were in Fort Sill, Oklahoma, and we had the best time there because it was the people that we were there with, you know, it was the people that made it and everything. But places that we want to go after this, I wouldn't mind going back to Europe. I wouldn't mind living in Europe again. But or go back to Hawaii, of course. Yeah, I don't know. I think I keep telling Joe now, I'm like, hey, I think I'm a coastal gal. Like, I need to be somewhere where it's a little bit warmer, you know? But really, overall, we've just been making the best of where we are and where we've been. And look forward to, you know, maybe our next place. He might have another one after this duty station. So, you know, we'll see.
One last question for you, ladies, before we move into our article. What has been your one favorite military spouse moment? And I know, Kim, you have an answer for this, so I'm going to go ahead and start with you first.
You know what's really special as a military spouse that you don't get to do anywhere else in life is when your spouse gets promoted, you get to help pin them. I mean, I don't know if that would be my favorite military experience, but that's very original to this position. And it's just a moment of pride.
Yeah, and you've gone through all of them, right?
I have been with him every single time, even when he got his second lieutenant bars.
Wow. Now, have you done the pinning every single time, or have you farmed that out to different people at different times?
I've taken part in every single one. I don't remember exactly what part I did on all of them.
All right. Jan, how about you? What has been your favorite military spouse moment?
The welcome home, the coming back from a deployment. It's just a feeling you can't really describe to someone who hasn't been through it and been through it several times. So yeah. It just doesn't change anytime. And I'm thankful that we got to experience that.
For you, is it about just you and your spouse, or is it the whole pomp and circumstances of the day? And because it's not, for those of you who do not know, it is not just they come home and get off the bus and run into your arms, which is lovely. It's a thing.
Yeah. So we've had it both ways. Getting off a plane and we're the only ones there was the last deployment. And the other ones, there were ceremonies. I think each one is special, you know, in its own right. I remember being freezing cold when he came back with the third ID, and just, it was like midnight. I mean, to somebody else, they'd be like, oh my gosh, you know, why didn't you just wait to see him till the morning? But whether you have to just see him for a second and then they have to go and clear their weapon and all that stuff that they do that the Army should just do before they bring them back, you know, I'm not in charge. But yeah, just that feeling, that whether it's with the pomp, I mean, I'm a pretty patriotic person, I guess maybe from being married to him, I don't know, but it is, it's special no matter what.
Hillary, what about you? What is your favorite military spouse moment?
I have something funny to say about a redeployment ceremony.
All right.
Okay.
Was it about ours, the one that they came back from for us?
No, it was, we were in Hawaii and he came back. And I had rented a limo to pick him up, to pick us up. And the limo was going to take us down to the Hilton Hawaii in Honolulu. So at Schofield Barracks to Honolulu, which is kind of a drive, like, you know, with traffic. It's always traffic. So anyways, I'm all excited. And you know, like, you spend all your time, like, getting ready and everything. And, you know, it's like hours of prep and shaving from head to toe and all this stuff. And then, you know, you see him and he hasn't bathed in like 4 days and he's just exhausted and covered in that dust and stuff. And so, you know, like, hi, here you are. And we're walking out and he's like, who's the turd that got the limo? And I was like,
That was me.
I was like, that would be ours. And he was like, oh, okay.
I'm going to guess that's not your favorite moment. Maybe it is. I don't know.
No, it was, I mean, you know, we laughed.
Pretty good story, though. Yeah.
It just, sure. You know, I thought it was hilarious. We of course, love the welcome home ceremonies, like all the excitement and everything with it. And. Mm-hmm. And stuff. But I think like my most favorite moment was last year I was asked to do a painting, actually. I was commissioned to do a painting for the spouses of the 3rd Cav Regiment in Texas. And so that was a huge honor for me to do. Our friend Ashley had asked me if I would do it. And, you know, she had commissioned me to do the piece. And now the painting hangs up there in the division headquarters and stuff. So I was like, oh, you know, I'm so glad that I was asked, number one. And then also to be able to represent the spouses. And the painting is, I did a collection of flowers that represented each campaign of the division, you know, through all their years. And so I had probably like, I think it was 26 flowers in the painting and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it took a long time to paint and everything. You know, when I mailed it off to her, I was like, I started crying. I was like, oh, you know. But that was a really proud moment that I was able to create something that I'm very passionate about. And I was able to, you know, contribute to our wonderful military spouses and make that dedication for us and, you know, all the sacrifices that, you know, we've all been through. So that was, my favorite and, you know, like proudest moment for myself to have my own, you know, identity within the military community. It wasn't just with my husband's unit that I'm doing something. It was, you know, a totally separate unit. So I felt very honored to be a part of it.
Hey friends, it's Heather, Mr. Army Wife's wife. I hope you're enjoying this episode of the Mr. Army Wife and Friends podcast as much as I am. Steve and his friends will return in a few seconds, but first I wanted to ask you to share the podcast with your friends and family. There's a lot of great information in each episode, and your help in spreading the word will make Steve's friends and your friends come together. You can introduce others to the podcast on Facebook and Instagram by searching Mr. Army Wife and Friends, or just share the link on your social media platform. We would really appreciate your support, and now back to the show.
Well, thank you, ladies, for sharing your stories. I know others are going to be inspired by that. We are going to move on to our article because this is a good one. And I know that all three of you are loving what's going on with the pandemic right now. This article is called Military Family Struggles to Find School Routine That Works. It was written by Suvon Lee, and I will post the link in our show notes for this. Ladies, I'm just going to ask you what you thought of the article, and then we are just going to talk about what y'all are doing for schooling right now during a pandemic, because let's face it, we've been doing this for 8 months now. I know that you've got stories, and I know that all of our listeners have stories. So this is just an article about one family who relocated to Honolulu from Japan and then are trying to get into a regular school routine. The most telling thing in the story to me was that the structure of school has given way to fidgety sessions in front of a computer, distraction posed by noisy leaf blowers, and parental acquiescence to spontaneous playtime as children adapt to virtual learning on a new island and in a new country. A couple of you have PCS'd during this, so you guys are dealing with that as well. Jan, what did you think of the article, and what's going on with your kids?
I could understand the point of view completely. Thankfully, my children are a little bit older. I have third grade and fifth grade. And believe it or not, we came from a Dodea school that was doing a fantastic job once they shut down. So mine kind of were, although we had a super extended summer because Fort Knox closed May and we didn't start here until September. So they had a super long summer, which was fantastic. But I don't know. I commend them. They take it all in stride. Just a couple weeks ago, we started doing 2 days a week for the third graders. So they actually go in person 2 days a week. And this coming Thursday, my fifth grader starts Thursday, Friday with the twins. So I'm getting a little break. I see some light at the end of the tunnel, although I'm cautiously optimistic because I see other schools shutting down. But it is a struggle. You know, I've caught them all doing things they shouldn't do during school time. It's just a struggle, like a lot more work than I anticipated it would be. And when we were at Fort Knox, my husband was home to help too. He's actually going into the office here. So it leaves me to man all three of them. But I can completely understand where she's coming from. I think for my kids, the biggest thing is they don't know anyone here. You know, they've met a couple kids through Cub Scouts, but just they need that socialization and they're not getting it. They're just at each other's throat a lot because it's just them together all the time. So it's just different struggles depending on the day of the week. Sometimes they'll sit down and the day will go fine and other days not so fine. So, but I think the biggest thing for them is they're ready to meet people and meet students. So,
Kim, your kids are older. They are pretty self-sufficient when it comes to living, almost living life at this point and doing school. One is in college. You have three of your own that are in high school, middle school. Are all of them in high school now?
I have one eighth grader still.
One eighth grader still. And then you have the one you've semi-adopted. So how is it different for you, or how are you dealing? What did you think of the article too?
I have a couple thoughts. So I guess as far as us personally, so the kids are 8th grade, 10th grade, two seniors, and then a sophomore in college. They're all in school full time. And it didn't start that way. At first, we were in school 2 days a week, and then they opened it up. So honestly, not bad. Back in the spring, even like you said, they were self-sufficient. They'd get online, do their assignments, and we're done. And all I had to do was maybe check once a month and be like, all right, grades look good. You guys are good. This has not been that hard for us, although there's talk of school closing, but I know that the kids will do great. But as far as the article goes, I thought it was interesting because the mom has a three-year-old and a five-year-old. I mean, that's playtime anyways, you know? So I thought it was interesting, the approach of the article, and I'm not sure how to take that, but I know that when my kids were little, if something wasn't working with school, I brought them home. I homeschooled them several times through the years, and the military community is great for that. So I just thought it was interesting. I totally get what she's saying, like suddenly you're doing work and then a leaf blower is going on outside and everybody's off track. And, you know, I don't feel like any kids should have to be doing online school when they're 5 years old. So part of that, just it frustrates me on her behalf, on the parents' behalf, because that's hard for everybody in this world right now who's got kids that young and they want them to sit in front of a screen all the time.
Hillary, you're kind of in between. You've got a 12-year-old and an eight-year-old, right?
Yes, I have a seventh grader and a third grader.
How are they doing in school, and what did you think of the article?
Well, I say cheers to you, Mama, too, because it's hard, you know. I really liked in the article the last paragraph, or in the last sentence, where she says, but I haven't had the bandwidth myself to figure out how it might work and what it would be like. And that was her referring to homeschooling her daughter, like on her own. And that word bandwidth has become kind of like one of those catchphrases I've been using in the last year. I've been saying, I do not have the emotional bandwidth right now to deal with such and such. And, you know, it was just so poignant right there when she said that. And it's mostly due to time management, where before, you know, we had this routine, like we get up at the same time every morning and everybody goes out, you know, to school. And then while they're gone, I do this, this, and this. And, you know, like I had my routine. I was able to start working on my own personal goals and accomplishments, you know, with my artwork and everything. And, you know, I started like have the wheels turning for that. And then it's like, oh no, they're home all the time. And I have to basically sit there and monitor, you know, what my third grader's doing, because the learning platform online, it just, like, I always say, the spaghetti's not sticking. I keep saying that, like, spaghetti's not sticking. Like, you throw like a plate of spaghetti on the wall and you see what sticks. Well, it's not really sticking with her. So I have to sit there. And then what is that doing? That's taking away from my time of when I would get all the other things done, you know, whatever around the house, you know, any of that, where it's just pushed back later in the day. Well, guess what? I still have to do that stuff. It still has to be done. These people still want to eat dinner, you know? So it's become more of an issue of, okay, time management and figuring out this routine. And I felt like, yes, earlier in the pandemic, when we were still in Germany, they were going to school and it was just kind of like, okay, well, we'll just do school at home. And there was a lot of like books and paperwork that they had that we, you know, it seemed like it was a little bit easier to go into. And then we move to a new area, you know, just like Jan said too, like you move into a new area, you don't know anybody. And then our kids in our area are all virtual. And so they are on the computer, they log in 8:30 in the morning and go on until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. All their work is online, exclusively online. You know, I'm like managing both of them at the same time. And if I pay too much attention to the third grader, well, the seventh grader is like, oh, well, nobody's looking, so I'm not turning it in, you know, like, what does it matter? The teacher's not standing over me telling me I have to turn it in. And I always have to keep reminding her, like, hey, I get those same emails too. Like, I see it and it's all here. You're not pulling one on me. So it's been hard. And then, you know, like I said, move into a new area. Everything's virtual. All of their class meetups, the students are all like, they're in a room, but they don't see each other. They haven't like seen anybody that's in their class. That's kind of like isolated. And, you know, my 12-year-old's like, I just want to meet someone my own age. Like, can I just meet kids? So we're driving around. I'm like, oh, there's someone on a bike. They look like they're your age. Go say hi. Like, like it's become like that because they need that social interaction and stuff. And especially relocating from living on base, military community, there's kids out the wazoo. So it's like you come out here in this area where we don't live on base and stuff. So we're in a neighborhood and, you know, there's not a whole lot of kids, or the kids that are around are younger. So it has been very tough trying to acclimate their social lives. And like I said, time management for me is the biggest thing. And, you know, I'm kind of being a little selfish here where I'm like, well, when can I start doing my work? Or, you know, can I like, you know, go to Target by myself in the afternoon? Like, and not like have to, you know, monitor everything. So I'll be selfish and I'll say, yeah, I want me time again to be able to, you know, get the things done that I did in the day. And then I also want them to be able to meet people, you know, have their own social lives, their own routine, their own lives and stuff.
Has this been better for any of your kids? Like, are there some of your kids that are thriving more in this not having to go to school environment, or are all of your kids really kind of needing to go to school?
Mine need to go to school.
Mine need to go to school.
They have a lousy teacher right now.
It's tough on these teachers too. I'll tell you, like, mine are in school, but they still learn virtually. So they're in a classroom, but they're still on their screen the whole time because the school has to be ready to shut down at any point in time. So they have to keep their assignments online. So even though they're there, they're still on a computer screen being taught all the time. And I think that's kind of tough on the kids, even when they're in school.
Well, yeah. And you think about like the learning environment when the kids, especially the younger ones, elementary age, they're sitting in the classroom and the teacher says like, you know, a question and another kid interjects and, you know, it's like, then they kind of like have their own little conversation around it. And then that's when the stuff starts to really resonate. That's when the spaghetti starts to stick more than just reading something online answering the questions and everything. And, you know, it's not sinking in like in the classroom setting.
Well, and mine, like I'm fortunate, mine can pretty much pay attention for as long as they're needed to. But I mean, I can't imagine if you had a child that really had some attention deficit problems and there would be no way they could physically sit there and watch a computer screen all day. I mean, it's hard enough for ones that can sit there and watch a computer screen. And gosh, I don't know about you guys, but I'm a little more lenient. Like, oh, let's go bounce on the trampoline or just take a break, take a mental break and, you know, run around the house five times or whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, they are minor in school. Like I said, 2 days a week and they're getting two recesses, which is fantastic. I wish they'd keep that. But yeah, I subbed in the school last year and if I had a little, I don't know what I would do. You know, I might consider homeschooling, but I would kind of agree with that lady that mine aren't so little anymore and I don't have the bandwidth for that, just like you said. Like,
right.
It's month eight. I'm just on my last string here, but that's why I wasn't a teacher.
Oh, I know. I know. That's why I always say that's why I'm not a teacher. That's why I don't homeschool. There's not enough wine in the world. And then, you know, here we are. No, it's okay. Like, yeah. It hasn't been like too terrible. And I am fortunate that my daughter, well, both of them, they do like stay pretty much attentive to it. But, you know, if you're not looking, they're going to just like, blah, 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 like do whatever. Or my older one that's like, well, nobody's really going to know if I don't turn it in. I'm like, you have 10 missing assignments. Like, how does this happen? Like, it's all there, you know? And I think it's just because she doesn't like report in and see the teacher every day, where the teacher is not like, hey, where's this assignment? It's not on my desk. So that's been like the hardest adjustment for her and stuff. But yeah, we have to take multiple brain breaks and everything. And then I always think like they're missing out on so much of the other stuff with school, like other than the socialization, but like the music classes, the art classes, you know, the PE suffering and all that, you know, that we had to go through. And it's like, man, maybe I should come up with stuff, you know. I'm an artist and I'm like, maybe I should come up with like an art day thing and da 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 da. And then I think about it and I'm like, oh my gosh, like when they get done at the end of the day and stuff, we'll be working on extra stuff till like 10 o'clock at night. It's kind of hard. And I just hope that overall they kind of just decide, okay, we'll just call this past year or the pandemic era like a wash as far as the education. We're not going to hold it against them too much, you know, as far as like their grades and everything goes, because how do you know too, like the parents aren't doing all the work, you know? The pandemic era.
I think my last question in this session then might be like, what do you think your kids are learning, not necessarily academically, but what do you think they're learning through this experience that they're going through, or what are you guys learning about your kids through this experience?
They don't like being cooped up, that's for sure. But I think that the kids that make it through this will be more resilient in the end. But I think for years to come, as a society, we're going to see some things come out of this that we're not expecting to see. And I hope that it's more good than bad. And it's not over yet. My family's just, but the first person in my family to get it just got diagnosed yesterday. So we're kind of on that road right now. And so I don't even know what your question was, Steve.
What do you think your kids are learning through this type of schooling and through this experience that they wouldn't have otherwise learned? And what are you learning about your kids?
I think that they're learning sacrifice a little bit. I mean, our kids have always sacrificed because of the military moving every couple of years and having, like I said, I have to make new friends every couple of years, but so do they. So, but this is just a different aspect of life, but they're sharing this with everyone. And that's a good thing. I don't know. I've always spent a lot of time with my kids, so I feel like I haven't learned a lot more about them, but it has been really special to see how maturely, okay, even though they don't like to be cooped up, they are handling the situation, I think, as well as anyone can.
Yeah, I was worried because mine have to wear masks, so, you know, which I'm sure yours do too, Kim, all day in school. But I mean, I think if you show them, set an example for them, you know, that you wear a mask every time you go out. And so I didn't let them go anywhere for a long time. I occasionally let them go places now, but just set that example for them that this is how we are are responding to this. We're going to wear a mask. We're going to wash our hands. We're going to stay away from people. And then you see them, like, mine still play with toys, and they'll have, like, their toys 6 feet apart, you know, and they're like, look, mom, they're social distancing. You know, it's just terms they never would have known, you know, until now. So just resilient. And maybe that is some of their military life coming out. But I just think about typing, and I didn't learn to type until I was in college, probably, you know, and just, right, it takes everything in me not to help them type, but I know they have to do that, whether it's one key every 10 minutes or whatever. But just a determination, I think that maybe that, like Hillary mentioned earlier, that can-do spirit comes out in them. You know, there's plenty of meltdowns, don't get me wrong, but overall, I've seen just, you know, hey, this is the way it is. We're adapting kind of attitude.
Yeah, definitely. I think what my kids have gained definitely positive, you know, from all this is time with their dad. They didn't have before. You know, we moved out here. We're right near the water. And so he takes them fishing and, you know, like they do a lot more activities together. So definitely, like, his presence around, you know, working on being together more. And even though, like, we see each other every day, we still eat dinner and laugh and tell funny jokes. So I think, like, positive side of it is, you know, the little bit stronger bond as a family, because we kind of cut back on some of the other noise in our lives, you know, like rushing here, doing this, doing that and stuff. And now things have just kind of settled, you know. Before, maybe I might get a little bit like worked up about, well, we got to do this, we got to do that, like, hurry up. And then now it's like, you know what, it's okay. We can just take it as it comes. And definitely the resiliency factor for our kids, us military families having that advantage over, you know, a lot of the other people in our society, you know, being able to deal with this for sure. And then definitely with our kids too. So that has helped. I don't know. You always look on the good side.
Hey friends, it's Heather again. I can't wait to hear this episode's description words and the advice these military spouses have to share. But first, I have to ask you to subscribe, rate, and review the show. Whether you give Steve a 5-star or a 1-star review, he wants to hear from you. What do you like about the show? What do you think could use some improvements? Steve and his friends are all ears and would love your feedback. Thank you.
All right, ladies, well, I want to move on to my favorite part of the episode, and that is where we describe our military spouses using our adjectives of the week. This one's exciting. Why? Because it's W, and our phonetic army alphabet is whiskey. So, you know, I mean, these are automatically going to be the best words, I think, because it's the whiskey week. So I am just going to ask you guys, tell us a little bit about your words. And Hillary, I'm going to start with you. What is your whiskey word for us this week?
So my whiskey word, I was told that wine was not a good adjective, so I had to. I choose worldly. Military spouses, definitely described as worldly. I love, you know, sitting at a table with a bunch of military spouses, the conversations of where they've lived, where we've visited, you know, and just the stories of it, experiencing the different cultures, flavors around the world. I mean, that's amazing. And yeah, I love those table conversations. And it's not just something within, you know, like it's outside, it's within the US and then outside of the US, and it just gets bigger and bigger. And then with social media, I love that I'll comment on someone's photo and I'll say, oh, hey, da da da. And then I see like one of my other friends that I didn't know, you know, associated with that person. I'm like, oh, hey, you know them too? Like, oh, cool. Like, I find that amazing. I love it. So my word is worldly.
I love that, because I think that we learn diversity through the military that we would never have learned otherwise. And I think that's part of what makes us that worldly word that you're talking about. That is a perfect word for us this week. Jan, what about you? What is your whiskey word for us?
I picked Wacky. For those
I love
of you
it.
That know me, I'm a little bit wacky. Just the unusual, crazy bunch that we are. I tend to surround myself with people that like to have fun and don't take life too seriously, because there's enough serious moments that we all could use a good laugh every now and then. And Steve knows the crowd I hung out with at Fort Knox. They were all about having fun and drinking lots of whiskey. Yeah, so just wacky, just fun, taking life as it is, riding that roller coaster.
Yeah, I love that word. I definitely can relate to wacky. And then, Kim, what is your whiskey word for us this week?
Well, since you wouldn't let me take whiskey, because there's a lot of whiskey that gets drank in the military. But
I don't know if military spouses are the wine or the whiskey, though. We certainly drink enough of it. There is no question about that. But
definitely consumers.
Yes, we are consumers. but Kim, you do have a great word for us.
I do. My word was wise. And I think there is just the experiences that we all have and then building off each other and getting to know people over the years, I just think kind of builds a deeper wisdom than any of us would have had without the experiences that we do. That doesn't mean everything we do is wise, but I do see that a lot amongst the people that I've known over the years.
I don't know. I think going on bourbon tours in the middle of the day is definitely wise. I don't have a problem with that at all. No, I
and
love
can
that.
Can I come to Fort Knox?
Yeah,
I'll come
absolutely.
Out there. We'll do bourbon tours.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, we've done them. We do them every month. They're fun. I've got a word for you guys too. My word is warriors. I believe that military spouses are warriors. I know that that is more associated with our spouses at times, but a warrior is someone who fights for what they believe in. And I certainly think that we fight for what we believe in. We fight for our marriages. We fight for our kids. We fight for our soldiers, and we fight for this country and what we do to serve our spouses who do so much to serve the country. So I definitely believe that military spouses are warriors in their own right. And, you know, that means being worldly, being wise, being wacky. All at the same time, that goes into being warriors. Those are great W words. What do you guys think of each other's words? Do you guys have any thoughts about the other words? I love them all.
I love them too. I think they're perfect.
Yeah. I think so too.
Right. I think they're great words.
Perfect. All right. One more question for you ladies, and that is very simply, what is the best piece of advice you've ever gotten, or what is the best piece of advice that you would give to a brand new military spouse coming into this wonderful life that we live? And Kim, I'll start with you.
I know you already know what I'm going to say, Steve. I'm sad I wouldn't be able to give you this advice, but any of my female fellow spouses, so any Army wives out there, stay strong in your faith. That'll carry you a long way. And if you live anywhere near a military post, check out PWOC. It is an amazing group of women who study the board together, and it got me through 21 years of military life.
Just make the best of it. Just embrace, you know, this crazy, wacky, wonderful life, and just enjoy it as much as you can, and just support the heck out of your soldier and just do it. I mean, just enjoy it.
Well, you definitely have to put yourself out there. You're going to survive as a military spouse. You can't be a wallflower. Fun isn't just going to come along and sit on your face. You have to go out there. You have to seek it. There are some wonderful people associated with the military, especially spouses. One little word of advice is always make sure that you have one or two frozen boxes of taquitos in your freezer, just in case the pop-up potluck comes along. You're always got something.
Ladies, thank you so much for being on the podcast tonight. I appreciate it. You guys are amazing.
Thank you, Steve. It was fun.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Mr. Army Wife and Friends podcast. A special thanks to Jan, Kim, and Hillary for sharing their lives with us. Join us for the next episode of Mr. Army Wife and Friends when I introduce you to more of the great military spouses I've met throughout the years. This is Mr. Army Wife. My name's Steve. And until next time, please be the change you hope to see in the world.